I was. Seems like every time I put on this hat, I talk like Otis. But I guess that's what hats are all about. They kind of define us sometimes, don't they? They really do define us. Now I'm back to Merle. But in any event, some say that today's graduates will have many careers before they retire. Matter of fact, there are those that say that they will have as many as 7 or 8 different careers by the time they retire. Much different when I was growing up. You got a job, you stayed in it, and you retired from it. That doesn't happen anymore. But we've all worn different hats. How many here have had various careers throughout their lives? Almost everybody. Yeah, almost everybody. I remember my hats. I was an engineering technician, then I was an engineer, and somehow I was supervisor of employee benefits. How that happened, I don't know. Well, God, it was a God thing. Then I was a manager of human resources. Then I was a benefits consultant. And once you know it, I became a pastor. How did that happen? From engineering to human resources to being a pastor. But God all has something special for all of us. And he uses all the skills that he gives to us. But, I believe the hardest hat, though, for all of us to wear is to put on the hat to be a soldier for Christ. That's difficult. It's a difficult hat. Paul points out in 2 Timothy chapter 2 about the different hats that we wear as soldiers for God. The different hats that we wear. And that we have to wear because of being appointed to be in God's army. This is not for weak of heart. Being in God's army is not for the faint of heart. It really isn't. Because we have to be like chameleons. Paul said, I've learned to be all things to all people so that I may win a few to Christ. A few to Christ. So today we're going to cover part 3 of being a soldier for Christ, which I entitled appropriately, The Many Hats of a Soldier. So if we go into our Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to cover verse 5 through 7 and then 14 through 26. What number is it in the Pew Bible? 842. 842, for those of you who don't have a Bible, just grab a Pew Bible. And we're going to study the Word of God here. But before we do this, well, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to study God's life-changing Word. Why don't we do that? It's time to study God's life-changing Word. You got it? Do I hear an amen on that one? Amen. Okay, well, let's get into God's Word and see what He has for us as soldiers of God wearing various hats. I said 5, but I'm going to go back from last week and throw verse 4 in there, too. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start with 4 through 7, and then we'll go from 14 to 26. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affair. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. And then let's go to verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of God. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with his inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hopes that God will grant them repentance, lead them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we begin part three of being a soldier for you, Lord, we ask that you continue to teach us, help us to learn the many hats that we have to wear in order to bring your truth to the community and to the whole world. Help us, Lord, to grasp on to your word and to savor it and to learn from it, so that we may better serve you. And more than anything, Lord, we ask for your presence today. We ask that in this quietness of this sanctuary, that you will reveal your heart to us, that we will learn today, that we will humble ourselves to be prepared to fight that battle that you have for each and every one of us. So with that, Lord, I open myself up as your vessel. Please, Lord, have me clear my mind of anything but you, and help me be able to hear your word so I can present it to this congregation, your people. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen. One more time, let's paint the picture of what 2 Timothy is all about. Basically, some say it's the last will and testament of Paul. This was probably the last letter he wrote before he was executed by the Emperor Nero, the Emperor of Rome. Timothy at this time was a youngster. He might have been between, 20 to 32. Nobody really knows. But he was a leader of the church in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. And Paul was leaving Timothy a legacy and instructing him how to be a soldier for Christ. That's very important to know. It's like a father saying to his son, it's time to pass the mantle. These are the things you need to know so you can fight the fight and fight the battle. I'm retiring. I'm ending my battle here. Timothy, take these words as instructions on how you live your life and how you become a soldier for the gospel, a soldier for the gospel. So in these verses we read, Paul was reminding Timothy of the necessity to have certain traits of various professions that were well known at that time and pretty well known to us today. So let's look at the various hats which Paul encouraged Timothy to wear. And let's start up with number one, the first hat of a soldier for Christ is one as an athlete. 2 Timothy 2:5 says this, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the roles. Paul is saying now, if you're going to be a soldier, you got to play according to the roles, according to the law. You got to be above the fray, because if you're going to win the race, don't be disqualified. Don't let anything disqualify you. We hear of disqualifications all the time now, don't we? Athletes, baseball players, bicyclists, all that are taking that edge, that break the rule to win the race. Does anybody here remember a name, Rosie Ruiz? Rosie Ruiz? Thank you, Cheryl. You do? Great. Rosie Ruiz was supposedly a marathon runner. And Rosie Ruiz won the Boston Marathon with the best time ever for a woman at that time, 2 hours and 31 minutes. That's pretty fast. That's like 5-minute miles. Well, they found out later that Rosie Ruiz, when she crossed the finish line, they said she wasn't sweating. She didn't look like an athlete. How in the world could she win? And so they started an investigation. And they found out that maybe a mile or two away from the race, Rosie Ruiz jumped into the race and finished it, you know, before any other woman that was in that race. To us people that run marathons, we know Rosie Ruiz. It tainted her. It made her now not to be looked at as a marathon runner, but as somebody who cheated the system, broke the rules, and tried to take the race away from the true winner. Do you think Satan wants to do that to us? You better believe it. You better believe it. We can't make up our own rules. We can't make it up as we go. Here's what David Guzik points out. He says that for some people, they have a special arrangement that goes like this. I know this is sin, but God understands, so I'll keep going in this sin. Do you know anybody like that? And sometimes we do it, don't we? Yes, we've got to watch about pointing fingers. But when someone falls in that sin, how likely are they to have any say into anybody's life as a soldier for Christ? How likely are they? Not too likely. Not too likely. So it's important we run the race by the rules for that crown that we're going to get in heaven. It's important for that. It doesn't mean God doesn't forgive that sin. It means we don't practice it. We don't practice, though. We don't want to be disqualified as a soldier. We want to be qualified so people, we get people's ear. Warren Wiersbe states this. Paul is saying to young Timothy, the important thing is that you obey the word of God. No matter what people say, you're not winning a race to please people or get fame. You're running to please Jesus Christ. Well, come on. What's the response? Amen. Okay. Okay. You out? You listening? Are you with me? Okay. Number two, soldiers also wear the hat of a farmer. They wear a hat of a farmer. 2 Timothy 2, 6 and 7 says this. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying. The Lord will give you insight into all this. I've observed farmers in my lifetime. And I can't believe a harder working profession than being a farmer. Has anybody here farmed before? Jerry, I know you have too, haven't you? Okay. How hard is it, Jerry? Yeah. That's why you became a plumber, right? Farm work is hard. You get up early in the morning to milk. You go at home late at night after the harvest. And you worry all day long whether the weather will cooperate. It's tough. It's tough. But that's the way God wants us to work for Him. We as soldiers of Christ are to work just as hard. To get up early in the morning, to study His Word, to be prepared for the day, and not give up. And be there to preach the gospel in season and out of season, morning, noon, and night. That's tough work, isn't it? As a farmer, that's tough, but that's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. The good news is that in our hard work for Christ, we ourselves can reap a harvest. Do you believe that you can plant seeds and reap a harvest for Christ? Do you believe that? I do. We've done it. When we first came here, we thought,
whoa, you know, we're in a new town, and we all had visions as a church. And it's happening, guys. It's happening because of the hard work of the whole congregation. The reaching out, the pulling in, the ministry that we do here. So anyways, if we are studying to teach, basically, what does that do for us? If we're studying to be soldiers, what does that do for us? It says we will reap a harvest. Well, we'll reap definitely changes in other people. But do you know what the other thing we'll reap? We'll reap our own personal knowledge. I remember years ago, my first ministry chore, and I wasn't a pastor, I was a lay person, is I decided to do vacation Bible school for fourth and fifth graders. I was sweating bullets. You know, I've never dealt with fourth and fifth graders. I didn't know what to do or what to say. And we had lesson plans. So what do you think I did? I studied. I didn't want fourth and fifth graders to know more than what I knew. So I studied and I studied and studied, even though most of them did, but I still studied and I studied. And so what benefit did I reap? It was because of Vacation Bible School. Studying God's Word, starting to love it, starting to understand it. It's because of that that I'm here today as a pastor. It may have happened 20 years later, but it's because of that I fell in love with the Word of God. Because I volunteered to teach fourth and fifth graders. We will harvest what we will sow. We will reap. And you know, the Bible says that we're seed planters. That's what we do. Some water, some fertilize, and when they take root, we all rejoice together. You got to love that. You know, we'll minister to somebody, nothing happens. But somewhere down the road, God may use that to lead a person into a deeper experience. And then a deeper experience. And maybe someday they'll teach fourth and fifth graders, and someday they'll become a pastor. You just don't know. You just don't know. Number three, as soldiers, we're appointed workers for God, so we wear the hat of a worker. 2 Timothy 2:14, 16 says this. Keep reminding God's people of these things. That's Paul telling Timothy, remind the people, I'm reminding you. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. He wants us, God wants us just to focus on Him. And He's reminding that as God's people and as God's soldiers, if we want to fight the battle, we fight the battle on our knees. We fight the battle being focused on Him. That's how we fight the battle. And then we're also entreated not to quarrel about words, but to reason with people. The commentary that I read, one commentary I read said this, arguing about minutiae doesn't get you anywhere and can hurt your spiritual walk. Minutiae. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We argue about minutiae. Do we care if mosquitoes go to heaven? Or whether we're going to have black flies in heaven? Do we? Yet we get in that minutia, don't we? And it takes us off the focus. Where am I with God? Where are they with God? How does God want to use me? As a soldier, we can't keep off focus. If you had an army and the army's kind of looking off to the side of a distraction, what does that do for the battle? We'll get creamed. That's the way it is for soldiers for Christ. If we dwell on minutiae, well, they don't do this or they don't do that or God says this and God says that. You know, we're going to be swamped as far as being distracted from what God has for us. But what I need to say, though, is that we are told to rightly divide the word. Rightly divide the word. So we don't have to be ashamed of the things that the Bible says. How many have read the Bible and said there are things in there that what it says is what it says? That's rightly dividing it. say, oops, I don't know about that one. But this one I do know. Well, God can use that. God can use that verse. God can use that to encourage people or to rebuke people or to build people up. He can use that. So it's rightly divide. Rightly divide, in the commentary I read, says it's almost looking at gold and silver and stones and just staring at them, rightly dividing them. Sort of like wearing one of those magnifying glasses that a jeweler wears to rightly divide, saying, no, that's not truth out there. Yes, that's truth. I read it. I read it in the Bible. That's truth. That's how we're to rightly divide. Rightly divide. But we have to do that. We have to study God's word and rightly divide. It says also avoid godless talk or chatter. Anything that takes focus off the gospel. Idle talk and chatter. Man, if there's anything that will take a church down, it will be idle talk and chatter. It will be gossip. It will be sexual innuendos. It will be accusations. It will be profanity within the church. You want to see a church destroyed? Allow that to go on. It will destroy the church. The word here, it says, avoid it. Don't indulge in it. It will become more and more ungodly. It's like gangrene. That's how the interpretation is. It's like gangrene. What happens if gangrene takes over the leg? You have to remove it. If you don't remove it, Kay, what happens? It takes a whole body. That's the same in the church. As soldiers of God, keep away from ungodly chattering, ungodly quarrels, ungodly bickering, ungodly gossip. Keep away from that. Because it will spread through a church and it will take it down. Just like gangrene will take a person down. Check out the pastor. Just because I stand here with the pastor's name, don't take my word for anything. You have to rightly divide what I have to say. There are many, many people that make pastors their God. I am not your God. God's your God. I want you to challenge me each and every day. I want you to say, you didn't rightly divide the word, and I want us to talk about it. Because there are false prophets out there, and if we blindly listen to false prophets, we blindly listen to minutia, we blindly listen to a different gospel, it's going to take us away. But we tend to do that. There are some say, well, you know, I can separate the meat from the bone. And you might be able to. But there's some poor souls out there that are choking on the bone that's being fed to them. It's choking on that bone. So that's a caution to be aware of the pastor's teaching and to rightly divide it and to take it in for yourself. Take it in for yourself. Number three, as a soldier for Christ, we are his vessel. That's a hat we wear as a vessel. Timothy 2:19-22 says this. Nonetheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. The Lord knows those that are his. Man looks at the outside, God looks at the heart. He knows what is in your heart. He has a plan for all of us as soldiers. He has a plan for us. He says, Kay, I love your heart. Chris, I love your heart. I have a plan for you. Scott, I love your heart. I have a plan for you. We can either be a vessel of gold and silver made of pure and valuable metals, which are not easily corrupted, or we could be a toilet bowl. No response to that? You are God's vessel. And you could be God's chalice. And you could hold the wonderful words of God in that chalice and be able to pass it around. And just pass it around. That's what he wants us to be, as a vessel. That's a vessel that can be used for him rather than being a dirty old mason jar that's all gunked up. What vessel would you rather be? That one. What happens when we're a vessel like this and we're trying to give people the word of God? So, Scott, here, why don't you drink from that? Huh? Chris, you want to drink from that? That's the issue as soldiers of God. We're his vessel. I love the scripture says, so we have to cleanse ourselves, which means we're not perfect, but we can cleanse ourselves. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can God use a cleansed vessel? I guarantee it. Can he use that something that's murky, that's not clear, that's almost putrid? No. I tell you, I had a chance, I've told this story before, I've had a chance to minister to one of my bosses. He wanted to know all about Christ, and I started talking to him, and he said to me, how could you have a God like that, but in conflict, you're doing all these other things? I was murky. He couldn't receive from me because my life didn't match up with what I was saying. That's why we're to be a cleansed vessel. I mean, if we're a cleansed vessel, nobody has anything against us. We live that life. Again, I'm talking about as soldiers for Christ. How many here want to be soldiers for Christ? Amen. As soldiers for Christ, let's keep our vessels clean. Because once a vessel is clean, it can hold. It says hold that purification of God's word so that we can give it out to one another. Does that make sense? Okay. I love this one phrase. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I call it the run, Forrest, run phrase. Because we got to flee those things. Because if we don't flee that things, guess what we're putting in our vessel to hand out? The same junk that prohibited me from leading my boss to Christ at one time. And it broke my heart. And all the things that he told me I was doing, I don't do anymore. Because as a soldier of Christ, it hindered my ability to witness to him. Hindered my ability. Number five, a soldier for Christ is also puts on a servant's hat. A servant's hat. 2 Timothy 2:23-26 says this. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So, you know, I'm half Italian. I think it's this half right here. So I react pretty fast, and sometimes not in a godly manner. And what this is saying is, don't get into any foolish arguments. Don't get into any foolish arguments. Some people love conflict. Have you seen those people? People love conflict. They just can't wait. They want to quarrel. It energizes them. You know, the fight of the battle, the fight of the debate, just to win. But as a servant of God, we're not to enter into this. Don't enter into those battles. Just don't enter into it. My wife is probably the best at conflict resolution. Because instead of reacting, do you know what she does? Strangest thing. She starts asking questions. And she asks the questions in a gentle spirit. And I've seen her change people around, not by giving them answers, but asking enough questions in which they have their own answers. I'm afraid of conflict. But she isn't, because it's not conflict to her. It is clarification, right? I once worked with a youth pastor, and Dean hated conflict until he learned that it was clarification, that he too started asking questions. Why do you think this way? What makes you believe that? Where's your source on that? In a gentle, loving way. In a gentle, loving way. It gives us an opportunity to get an ear. Gives us an opportunity to be calm about it and just to teach. I'm not there yet. My wife is still asking me questions. But it's a place we have to be. Humble, contrite, and open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's a great lesson on how we address issues of the day, conflicts of the day. And if we approach people in a way that they know we care, and they know that we want to hear their side of the story, we get an ear. We get an ear. They'll listen to us. Isn't Scripture wonderful? It says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. We're not talking about our Christian brothers. We're talking about everybody. That's a tough one that I got to handle. But it says to be that way, not quarrelsome with everyone, but to teach them and not be resentful. They have their own choices to make, like we had our own choices to make. So we don't have to be resentful. They don't receive Christ the first time we talk to them. But all we do is our side. We do our side. We talk, we forgive, we love, we clarify, and then we get an ear. We get an ear. And then that's when God does his best work. That's when he does his best work. And that's when maybe if they come to Christ, they do escape the trap of the devil. Would you like to be able to free people from the trap of the devil? I know I would. Let's be gentle out there. Hillsweep Blues used to say, let's be careful out there. Well, my different view on it is, let's be gentle out there. Let's be humble. We'll never get an ear from fighting all the time. Never. I got to read one more thing. I know time's waning, but this is good. I recently got this off of Sermon Central, but it's a great story. Church conflicts happens for pretty unusual reasons. In the 1890s, there was a small Baptist church in Mayfield County, Kentucky. The church had just two deacons, and those two men seemed to be constantly arguing and bickering with each other. On a particular Sunday, one deacon put up a small wooden peg on the back wall so the pastor could hang up his hat. When the other deacon discovered the peg, he was outraged. How dare someone put a peg in the wall without first consulting me, says the other elder. The people in the church took sides, and the congregation eventually split. Over 100 years later, residents of Mayfield County still refer to the two churches as Peg Baptist and Anti-Peg Baptist. It's a true story. Don't quarrel. Let's make nice. Don't quarrel. Okay, in closing, let's go to this cartoon. Okay, sometimes when the Philistines got bored, they engaged in idle chatter. Bel, Asheroth, Bel, Molech. Oh, nice one. I already said that. It's a joke. Okay. Let me end with this. In Paul's day, as it was in Paul's day, as this writing was taking place, there were things happening in that whole area. But you know what? These are also perilous times for us. Perilous times to be a Christian and to walk our talk and walk our faith. These are perilous times. And we have to wear these many hats that I talked about. The many hats in the spiritual warfare. If we're going to be soldiers for Christ, we have to put on these various hats. We got to stay within the bounds that God set for us as athletes so we can complete the race. We need to be as hardworking as a farmer, up early in the morning and going to bed late at night. We're to be workers for Christ, not contentious, but ones not ashamed of the word of God, not quarreling or bickering, but giving forth God's truth. We need to be a vessel having a clean life so that we can hold and live God's word and be able to give it to others like a refreshing drink. And lastly, and most difficult, we are to be servants, not entering into idle talk and foolish arguments, but to be gentle and humble as we serve God, seeking to save the lost and the dying. So the question is clear, church. Can we successfully wear these various hats? It's a question we must ask ourselves. Can we continue in the faith that God has more for us than just attending church? Can we do that? We will be able to allow Him to clean our lives up so that we will be like a gold or silver chalice. We need to be able to do that, be like Him, to allow Him to clean our lives up so that we will be like a gold or silver chalice, holding a refreshing drink to the world and thirsting after something different. When we do all this, when we do all this as soldiers for Christ, we become more than a building. We become truly God's church. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this last letter of Paul to a young man named Timothy, teaching him how to be a soldier, telling him how to wear different hats and giving him instructions on how to be used and how to fight the battle. Lord, help us to wear these five hats. Help us, Lord, to step out for you. Help us more than anything, Lord, to get our house in order so that we can seek the lost and the dying. With that, Lord, I don't know whether there's anybody here that doesn't know the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, that God sent His Son to be a mediator for us, to die on the cross so that our sins may be forgiven. That He took the punishment for us so that we would be righteous in God's sight. That's the good news. If there's anybody here that hasn't heard the good news and want a change of life, I just ask that you consider this prayer. And this prayer goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I want to be a soldier for Christ. And I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to go into battle. I want to be used for you as your vessel. That's the prayer. I repent of my sins, Lord. I want to go from all that bad stuff in my life. And I want to put on your armor. And I want to go forward in your word and have you as my commander, as my Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that has said that prayer for the very first time, I'd like to know so I can pray for you. So if you have said that prayer for the very first time, I ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Put your hand up and right back down. Dear Lord, I thank you for the people of Grace Christian Fellowship Church. I know you have so much more for us to do. It's so scary, but it's also exciting. So, Lord, I lift this congregation up to you, Lord. I ask that you continue to work through us and that you also work in us. You change us so that we may change others. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and certainly all God's people said, amen.